This is Around the House. Here is your host, Steve Gladstone.
And we're here. And
Finally.
And I just finished my coffee, and now I don't have any more coffee to drink for the next 2 hours. It's great. I have to find somebody to bring me a cup of coffee.
And some donuts.
Yeah, bring me donuts. No, I don't want any donuts. I can't remember the last time I had a donut.
Yeah, me either. You know, it's funny, you go to the supermarket and you always see these, you know, six packs of donuts and or whatever.
I'm not into stuff and packaged stuff. If I was going to have a donut, I would go to Dunkin' Donuts or Donut
right,
Light.
Right.
And I would have a donut. What kind of donut do you like? What would you pick?
Mine is just the, plain sugar donut, nothing. I don't need any icing. I don't need anything else, even though it's good. I just rather have, like, a cinnamon donut type of a thing. Very simple.
Okay. Tony?
Good for dunking.
What would you pick?
Yes.
What would you pick as a donut?
Yes.
Everyone?
Pretty much.
All of them.
Pretty much.
Really?
I mean, hey, mostly with chocolate. I like a jelly donut here and there, but... You know, the Boston cream actually has less calories than some of the other ones.
The Boston cream, chocolate on top, and the pudding inside has less calories?
It actually has less calories.
It's less donuts.
When I order on my app, it gives you the calories. So I go with that one.
This is amazing.
Wow.
Who has a Dunkin' Donuts app?
Oh, yeah.
No kidding.
You order ahead.
Trouble.
You walk in and you it's right there for you.
Yeah.
Does it usually take longer?
Well, you don't have to wait in line. You just go.
Tony.
You walk in and they have a section there. It's prepared.
Pick up.
You order ahead. Yeah.
Wow.
The only downside to that is that you can't apply the senior discount.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a big deal, man.
Yeah.
See, I've never done that.
They have all sorts of deals. I mean, you get your receipt, you fill out a survey, and then the next time you order a coffee, you get a free donut.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Sure.
I'm going to have to start doing that.
See? Yeah. You see?
See, I'm still in shock that I go into a Shell station and I get 5 cents off on the price on the pump because I've got their advantage program going on. So as soon as my MasterCard goes in there, it says, "Hi, Steve, you get a nickel off."
You see, that?
If I go to certain restaurants, they give me even more off, which is really interesting.
But what you got to do is go to Stop and Shop, use your card there, because then you get points, and for every like $100, you get 100 points. That's 10 cents off, and they have bonus things.
Yep.
Where I think one time I got 80 cents a gallon off.
That's wow.
Because
I got
bonus points for buying
huge.
Something. Yeah.
Well, it is huge. You know, I think I've saved I think I've saved about $3. It's not big money, but you know, there's a lot of incentives that people don't take advantage of or they're not aware of, that are very interesting. You know, there are a lot of places that do give senior citizen discounts. And
mm-hmm.
The time I don't even think about it, I just, you know, go in and pay whatever regular price because I'm just, I'm not even thinking I'm a senior at this point, but I am, certainly am, but I just don't focus on it. If I was to pick a donut, I'm torn between two different donuts.
Okay.
I like the round cruller. Because sometimes just because of the chewiness of it, and the rest of the time I like that Boston cream. But I've always been a sucker for pudding, and basically that's like vanilla pudding inside there.
I've never had one of those. I've never had a Boston cream donut.
You should, Gene, and if you're watching your waistline, it's less calories than the others.
There you go.
I have to get on that right away.
I'll tell you what's awesome. I don't know if it's as good as it used to be, was the coffee roll.
That I don't know.
Oh.
Never tried that.
It's
me
big,
either.
It's big, it's sugary, it's good.
Well, this
all you have to do is say sugary. We know that it's good.
Thank you for listening to Health Tips. We're discussing healthy diet right now.
Have that? Yeah.
And, I always feel guilty when I'm going into a donut shop. Even the bakery across the street from the station, which is really a very nice bakery.
Yeah, it is. It's true.
Look at some of the stuff there, and I think about eating it, but I don't always order anything. I'll get a cup of coffee, maybe something small, but they have such fabulous-looking stuff that I don't go to bakeries a lot. I think they're dangerous. My father loves to order the cornbread. Bakeries do that on a regular basis. Some of them only, cook certain breads as a specialty. He loves to bring home heated cornbread that is right out of the oven.
Oh, man.
And it disappears in my house in like 2 seconds.
I bet.
Everybody goes into the apartment and grabs it. That's one of the nice things generally. A lot of people are really into going to the bakery on the weekend. And you'll see people lined up getting the bagels and getting all their stuff going in and getting the box tied up with string and all the rest and bringing it home. I was never into that. I every once in a while Sandy brings home something and it's fabulous, but I never even think about going by there unless I'm in the shopping center. And even then, I know it's going to be a lot of calories and stuff. And I'm not into cookies. She'll go in and buy the black and white cookies for the kids or something special for the holidays. That doesn't intrigue me,
I love cookies. I think I could live on cookies, but I don't like the soft cookies. I don't like those.
Yeah.
I much prefer the harder ones.
Yeah.
What's the ones that are left. I like the, that's why I always am hesitant about buying cookies. They never say whether it's the soft bake or the hard bake, and I have to be very picky about that because I don't like the soft that much.
So you're more of a Chips Ahoy than you would be a Stu Leonard's.
Yes, that is correct. A Chips Ahoy would be just fine. And, of course, I used to eat Oreos, but now they have like 500 different styles of Oreos, and I get confused, so I move on.
I was looking at that. They have hazelnut filling and all kinds of
stuff. Yeah.
And I look at, my wife has got several different ones in the pantry for the kids. And I look at it, but I've been trying to stay away from that stuff. But I haven't tried that. And I'm a sucker for hazelnut. I like hazelnut coffee, and I like the concept of it. I don't eat the spread, because I know that's fattening as anything. But the Nutella.
Yeah. Yeah, the Nutella is dangerous.
Yeah.
It is really dangerous because that is just, I could just put my hand in the jar and just eat it that way. It wouldn't bother me at all.
I never really experienced Nutella. It was not something my mother would buy. But when we were in Belgium, the kids were all smearing that on toast and eating it
for
breakfast. And I think that's the first time I really tried it. And I thought it was a European thing, but it was. Obviously, it's every supermarket you can imagine. Good morning to Bill and Wendy. She's going to make monk fruit sweetened halva today. Well, that's
halva. Wow.
Interesting.
Really?
Every once in a while, I'll go to Rye Ridge Deli and I'll buy some halva.
Man.
Sesame seed candy, for those of you that don't know what that is. That was an occasional thing when I was growing up that we would.
Yeah, at my house too. Yep.
Yeah.
Dad loved it.
Acquired taste. That's definitely an acquired taste.
I didn't like it as a kid, but as I became an adult, or at least something like it, I started trying it, and I go, "This is really good." because my dad always had it.
It's interesting.
You know, he liked it. Yeah, yeah.
A lot of times it's very dry, though.
And mm-hmm.
So a good glass of milk will help. But that's true of most cookies and stuff. Milk comes in handy with that.
Milk is just, you know, cookie thinner. That's
yeah.
all it really is, you know.
That's true. It's cookie thinner.
That's its function.
Yeah. So a little bit of house information. Cairo went in for surgery.
What happened?
Well, he didn't get hurt. What was happening was we were really concerned about his teeth, and his breath was terrible. And so we brought him in to get a blood test, and he went in for surgery the other day. They put him to sleep, and they pulled out two molars, and he's on antibiotics right now and painkillers. But he seems fine. He absolutely seems fine. And I'm wondering, you know, I'm feeling a little guilty that, you know, maybe he had a toothache for God knows how long. But the one tooth was really bad. And he seems a lot happier right now. But it's been an adventure feeding him antibiotics and painkillers in the morning.
They love that.
Yeah. Dogs are not thrilled about taking any kind of medication. He loves his chicken jerky. You know, he'll do any trick that you can think of for chicken jerky. So I've been putting the antibiotic on the chicken jerky, and he's been eating it really very easily. So I was amazed at that. And then I have to hide a quarter of the pill in a piece of cheese, and
I've
been successful with getting him to eat four quarters of a piece of cheese. But he's doing much better. And,
good.
That's been an adventure. The chickens are getting huge. The you know, they're out in the coop now, and every day we look at them, and they're bigger and bigger and bigger. They're starting to look like pullets now instead of chicks.
Wow.
And the hens, the full-size hens and the rooster, are, you know, they're able to look at each other through both the coop and the enclosures, and every once in a while, one of the chicks gets close to the rooster and makes the mistake of thinking that that's friendly, and he pecks at it, and they back off, and they're quickly learning to stay the hell away from him. As I learned, I try not to get too close to him at all. Peanut butter didn't work for him. He was he's more of a cheese dog.
You know, cheese, yeah.
Very particular, very particular. Even the cheese, he has to smell it 10 times before he'll even think about eating.
I mean, so he won't just have, like, you know, cheddar cheese. He'll have to go for the Asiago cheese or however you say it.
Yeah, he's very, you know, dogs are into smell.
Right.
They're definitely into smell. So if they're not sure of something, I mean, he likes strawberries. But if he smells it, if he sees me eating one, he might eat it. But if he smells one, he'll play with it for an hour before he'll eat it.
Oh, that's getting your money's worth, that's for sure.
True, except that you get strawberry juice all over the place.
Well, there is that, yes.
It's the little thing. It's the fun parts of having a dog. It's cleaning up after them, and cleaning their paws and their butts and all the rest of it. And dealing with ear infections, and you know,
like, right? Yeah.
Except that, you know, they will scratch their head on the ground until you realize that the reason why they're scratching is they're uncomfortable. But they're fun. Time for a break.
Yes, sir.
All right, let's take.
Wow.
And maybe we'll come back and talk about some house stuff.
Gutter Guys are located in Stamford, but they cover a good deal of lower Fairfield County. And, you know, a lot of times I see houses that don't have any gutters. And the builders will often say to me, oh, you don't need gutters. We've provided enough drainage around the outside of the house. And I will tell you, that is the most nonsensical thing. You need to control the water. When the water is coming down as rain or snow or hail or any other form of water, you need to control it. And so having gutters and leaders is a great idea. And some of the products that they sell include putting up new gutters, putting up new leader pipes, directing water away from the house, and they have all different types of gutter guards and leaf guards and all kinds of things that can make your maintenance much less. So you want to give them a call. It's the Gutter Guys, 203-327-1346, 327-1346. And they do gutter cleaning and power washing, and they'll clean your skylights. Give them a call, Gutter Guys, 203-327-1346, and tell them you heard it on Around the House. If you're buying a home, selling a home, or just living in a home and wondering if it's falling apart around you, you should call Stone Hollow Fine Home Inspections. We look at roofs, crawl spaces, basements, and attics with over 35 years of experience in Fairfield and Westchester counties. We are the best-looking inspectors you can hire. And we do water testing, radon, mold testing, and pool inspections as well. Stone Hollow Fine Home Inspections, 800-356-9611. That's 800-356-9611. Or check out our testimonials at stonehollow.com, Angie's List, and Yelp. If this is your first home or you've had a bunch, we will help you to better understand conditions, maintenance needs, and safety items to protect you and your family. Stone Hollow Fine Home Inspections, 800-356-9611. Call today.
I just thought, you know, it would be so cool to have a barn. They just look cool. They just, you know, they look really, really cool. We're back.
I like the idea of a barn. I really do.
Yeah.
A lot of homes that we inspect will have additions that are made to look like a barn. You know, they'll have the rustic wood or flooring. And I think it's a very attractive look to a lot of people. It's, you know, we were in this one place that actually had stall doors for the horses, even though there was no horses, obviously. But they made it look like two of the doors leading to a bathroom and to a closet looked like the doors leading into the stable. And they had the horses' names on the doors. It was cool.
That does sound cool, yeah.
And, you know,
I could go for that.
Usually high ceilings with paddle fans. And one of the problems is, of course, insulating these things and trying to heat them. The house that we did a very interesting house this week, right on the water in Westport, that had a geothermal heating system.
Wow.
And we rarely see that around here because it's usually a very expensive adventure. I'm going to talk about solar in a few minutes, but this was geothermal. And what they had done is they drilled wells going into the ground. And the transfer of the heat of the water, the 55-degree heat of the water, is heating the house. It's heating up refrigerants, and then we're using an air handler to blow air across that coil and getting the heat of the ground to heat the refrigerant to heat the house, which is brilliant because they're not spending money on fossil fuels.
Right.
As a backup.
Did you say 55 degrees?
The Earth is 55 degrees.
And it doesn't sound very warm.
Well, but it is. It's 55 degrees. And 55 degrees will boil refrigerant.
Oh, really?
That's the way your air conditioner works. Most people don't realize that, but air conditioning, we take the air that's in the house, and we pass it across a coil in the air handler. And that air in the house, let's say it's 80 or 90 degrees in the house, it heats up the refrigerant. We send it outside to that box and that box has a compressor in it that compresses it and raises the temperature a little bit more of the refrigerant, then we turn the fan on and blow that heat off to the atmosphere. That's how air conditioning works. A lot of people think that we get cooling from outside, but we don't. We're using the heat of the air in the house to heat up the refrigerant and then transfer that heat outside. So every time that happens, and it's a looping effect, we're lowering the temperature in the house until it gets to be about 68, 66, somewhere down there. But if we...
That's really cool. I'm astounded at 55 degrees could heat up anything. I mean, you figure, water boils at 212 or 2 whatever it is, you know.
Exactly. That's because let me shut the door.
There you go. That's the beauty of live radio.
Huh?
That's the beauty of live radio.
Okay.
You know, it's not. There are flaws. It's cool. It's great.
It's flaws. All right. The thing is that most people are not aware, because we're so used to 212 being the boiling point for water.
Right.
That we don't realize that the boiling point for a lot of other things is much lower. And that's why when you put rubbing alcohol on your hand or on your wrist, you feel it evaporating.
Right.
It becomes a gas.
Right.
And that's what we're doing with the refrigerant, is we're converting it from liquid to gas to liquid to gas over and over again. And we're using the heat of the ground, geothermal, to heat up the refrigerant. Once we blow a fan across that refrigerant coil, we can get warm air. It's not going to be terribly hot. It might be 100 degrees. But if we use a compressor and we compress that a little bit more, we can raise that temperature to be even higher and blow it off to the atmosphere. So if you've got an air conditioner condenser outside and it's running, if you put your hand above the top of it, it should feel warm. And that's the transfer of heat to the outside. When we have a heat pump, which is basically what a geothermal unit is a heat pump, we reverse it, and what we're doing then is we're taking the heat from outside, heating up the refrigerant, and blowing it off inside. So even when it gets to be about 5 to 10 degrees outside, we can use that temperature to heat up the refrigerant.
That's remarkable.
It is remarkable, but it is the way that I'm heating Kendall's house. It's the way that we're cooling just about everybody's house out there. And when we see a geothermal unit, usually the way that that works is somebody has drilled two wells, and what they're doing is they're using the temperature of the water, that nice cool 55-degree water, to heat the house. Now, another way of doing it is to bury piping in the yard. That's often called a slinky coil. And that will do the same thing. It'll still take the temperature of the ground and make the water coming through the pipes 55 degrees. Or what we did in Reading, when we had the school in Reading, we had a tremendous buried water tank that was cooled by the earth, or heated by the earth, however you want to think about it, and the water in the tank stayed a constant 55 degrees. And then we used a pump and pumped it inside and used that temperature to heat and cool the school.
So, I can understand that. I think that's great, and I think it'd be a great way to go, but it's so freaking expensive. I guess it's all the drilling. Is that what's making the car, the whole thing, you know, almost where you get to the point and go, nah, I'm not going to do this. I'm just going to get a regular system.
Here's the thing. It's not so much that it's expensive. It's that it's expensive up front.
So
when someone is going to be building a new home or retrofitting an old home and they have lots of money for the renovation, and maybe they can get a big enough loan from a bank or a mortgage lender, that's when it makes the most sense to do it. Or if you can finance it, and here's the thing, with the Biden administration, all of a sudden, everybody is getting phone calls for solar. I met yesterday with a solar representative from a company, and we may have them on the radio to talk about it. But there are loans that are being subsidized at very low rates, 1.9%, which is 0.9%, depending on how much you're going to borrow, to influence people to put on solar. And the same thing is going to happen with geothermal. There are going to be more. My house is so complicated, I tried to put geothermal in a couple of years ago, and the guy was scratching his head trying to figure out how he was going to heat all these different areas of my house, because I've got several different heating systems in different parts of the house. We've got 9 different thermostats for the major part of the house, and we've got some radiant floor heat as well. So it's a very complicated house, and it's very spread out. So geothermal would be very tricky here. But I want geothermal. Geothermal has been described as putting an oil tank in the ground and never having to put oil in it. Okay? So, I mean, there are tremendous advantages financially over a long period of time. But if you're a renter, or if you're only going to live in a house for 5 years, it makes no sense whatsoever to spend that kind of money. But you could be talking upwards of $100,000, $125,000 to put in the... Yeah, it's not inexpensive.
Wow.
But if you were building a new house and you were thinking about putting in an oil system and 2 furnaces or 2 boilers and oil tanks and all the rest of it, maybe you might want to spend an extra $50,000 and start getting the return on investment right away. See, the problem with most of this stuff is it pays for itself over time. And even with the solar, if the solar saves me $80 a month, the question is it worth cutting down the trees? Is it worth having panels that are not particularly attractive on my roof to save $80? And my house has heating costs that are very expensive. So we've insulated, we've put in better windows, we've done a lot of things, but my energy bills are still very expensive. So putting solar panels on is intriguing to me, but I have to put on, believe it or not, the average house might put 19 or 20 solar panels. I need 62 panels to, to assume 68% or 70% of the energy use in my house. That's a lot of panels.
Boy, no kidding.
So the whole front of my house would be solar panels.
Wow. And it would still be cheaper than doing the geothermal.
Yes, because now we're talking about probably $80,000. And I also have to redo some of my roofing, because you don't want to put brand new solar panels on a 15-year-old roof. Because in 7 years, you're going to be ripping the roof off. You're going to have to take the panels down, put them back up. That makes no sense whatsoever. So you always put solar panels on a new roof or a recent roof, because the panels should last about, most of the time, they're going to give you a 25-year warranty. So it's...
That's pretty good.
No, it's fine. It's just that you know, the return on investment is over time. So you've got to be willing to live in that house. If I'm paying this house off when I'm 92 years old, that may not be my priority at this point.
Really?
You know, maybe I'll be on a cruise ship somewhere, or maybe I'll be in the ground. I don't know.
So is geothermal
It's on my solar panel.
Geothermal heating and cooling, can that be done anywhere? Are there certain areas where that doesn't work?
No.
Where you can't do it?
No, that's the thing, is that the ground source heat is consistently on Earth at about 55 degrees.
But I mean, as far as anything else drilling down, I mean, I guess can you do it if you have to go through a lot of rock, or does the ground have to be a certain softness or something, or what do you do?
Well, drillers will drill and get through almost anything. If they go down a couple hundred feet and you've got a recycling system, it shouldn't be a problem. But it's expensive to drill wells. And once you've got wells done, which is a big chunk of the money, then you've got to put the equipment in the house. But, you know, one of the things that people don't realize is there's not going to be any outside condensing unit. Everything is going to be inside. So that equipment is not exposed to the weather. That equipment tends to last a little bit longer because it's not getting rained on and snowed on.
Right.
It's a very interesting procedure to put this in.
I think it'd be a great thing to have. I'm sure at some point that the prices hopefully would be coming down, but
well, the hope is that there'll be loans that are cost effective at this point.
Right.
Might influence people who are anxious to get into this new technology. I mean, the solar guy, when he was all done making the presentation to me yesterday, had Sandy scratching her head saying, well, I'm not sure that this is worth doing. But when he walked into my garage and he said, oh, you have a vault? You are into electric stuff and innovative stuff. And I said, yeah, I bought that in 10 years ago. You know, and I am. I'm a firm believer in insulation. I foam insulated one of my attics. I wish I could redo this office where I could get up into that attic space and foam up there, because I would save a lot of heat in this structure. But I bought an antique house, which is, you know, although we've insulated it over the years as we've done renovation, I don't want to say it's a pig on energy, but I've changed out all the lights to LEDs, and I've put programmable thermostats in. But I've got a bunch of people living here, and they don't like being cold. So as soon as that temperature drops a couple of degrees, they turn up the thermostats, and I'm paying for heating natural gas and propane, and it's expensive.
Well, I see more and more of solar panels out there, and I'm always curious when you see it, especially in New England. You go, well, what happens when the snow comes? You know, it covers up the panels. What do you have to do? Go on a roof and shovel it off?
No, the snow will melt it. I mean, that's why they're generally black in color, is they
attracts the heat, kind of thing.
Yeah, they're going to be relatively warm, and a lot of that going to just melt off or slide off. There are going to be days where you're not going to get a lot of power out of it. There are going to be days where it's going to be cloudy, and you're going to get some work out of it. The idea is to try and achieve 100% of what the house needs. And, you know, some of the interest was, you know, Eversource and United Illuminating are interested in more people getting their homes energy efficient. But what will ultimately happen is the rates will go up for everyone else.
Right.
So as I save money on my house, ultimately thousands of people are going to put on solar, and they're going to be saving electric costs. But the electric company is going to have to adjust in order to be making enough money to justify what they do. So the rates are going to go up higher for all the rest. And it's just like the energy audit. If you have your house energy audited, you're paying $75 or $100, or sometimes it's free, but the energy auditors are getting several thousand dollars based on the amount of energy that they can save in your house. So it's a very lucrative business for whoever is doing the energy audit, because what they do is they evaluate the house before and after, and they get paid based on the amount of savings. And ultimately, when you get that energy, that Eversource bill, it says energy. There's a fee involved in there where we're all paying for those energy audits. So nothing in this world is free.
Well, isn't that the truth?
And the monopolies are losing customers, and yet they're really not. They're still making the same kinds of money. And they can go up 4% a year, where because they have to go before regulatory things, and they're only allowed to raise the rates so much. But the bottom line is they're not hurting at all.
Yeah, I'm never too concerned about the people who supply the energy. I think they're going to be okay.
Yeah.
They'll be fine.
And you know they've got expenses too. But one of the things that does bother me a little bit about Eversource and the way that they handle some things, I've been watching this one telephone pole that is not really a telephone pole. It's a electric pole. You know, we've been calling them telephone poles for so long, we're so used to that. But they're mostly carrying electricity and cable and other things. But, we had a pole that was rotting. And what they did is they put a new pole in next to it and then put a bolt through it and attached it to the old pole so the old pole wouldn't fall down. And they left it.
I've seen those kinds of things.
This pole is leaning precariously over a car right now that... If it falls, it's going to crush this car. And I don't understand why they don't take that pole out and take it away.
Well, just make sure that's not your car that you're talking about.
I wouldn't get anywhere near it. But, it's just a question of time before this bolt lets go. And it's going to be a lawsuit, I'm sure, against Eversource.
Oh, yeah.
And we're all going to pay for that crushed car.
Yep, that's right.
All right, we're going to take a break. You're listening to Around the House, and we'll be right back.
If you're thinking about fuel oil or propane, you want to be thinking about New England Total Energy. They have 11 trained service technicians. I meet with them on my jobs on a regular basis now because they come and inspect the heating systems when we're doing home inspections for us. New England Total Energy. They also sell electric services, do energy audits, and have the best service group that you could ask for. So if you are contemplating a service contract for your equipment, if you've got air conditioning equipment that you're going to put to sleep for the colder months, you want to give them a call at 203-869-5869, 203-869-5869, your full-service fuel oil company. And once again, it's 203-869-5869. If you are experiencing problems with insects or rodents or bed bugs, almost any pest that is annoying you other than people, you need to call Usoli Pest Control at 914-356-9084. A small family-owned and operated personalized service is offered at all times. Same-day service, 22 years of experience. He's local in the Greenwich area, so he's happy to respond to your needs. All of our services are guaranteed. And once again, it's Usoli Pest Control at usolipestcontrol.com and 914-356-9084. And it's Y-S-O-L-I Pest Control. And he's worked at my house, and I recommend him highly. So many times when people are moving into their new place, they ask me, who should I use for painting? And that's an easy answer for me. It's Jonathan's Painting Service. Jonathan does both interior and exterior, both residential and commercial painting. He's helped me out in several conditions around my house and at the firehouse. And we've referred him to a lot of people and gotten excellent testimonials back in regard to his workmanship. He's up to about 15 guys in about five trucks, so he's doing real well. JonathanPainting.com or 203-540-1533. 203-540-1533. Jonathan's painting service. As I said, he's fully insured and fully licensed. They are one of the best painting services out there. Attention to detail is really an important aspect of Jonathan's work, and they clean up after themselves, and I absolutely feel that he's the right choice if you're looking for a painting service. Jonathan's Painting Service, 203-540-1533.
Here's Steve Gladstone around the house.
Thanks, Jeff. All right, we're back, and we've been talking about geothermal heat and some solar. We're seriously thinking about doing solar panels. Sandy is looking at the alternatives between paying for it outright and renting it. The rental is a 25-year rental. So it is about, I think it's about $300 a month. So it's almost like buying a car. And it would satisfy a good percentage of the electrical needs of the house, which would be a fairly good savings over a long period of time. But over a short period of time, it's not that much because you're paying off all of this equipment. And once again, I have to re-roof front of the building that the office is in because that roof is more than 20 years old, and I've been getting pricing on having the roof done anyway, and that's part of the incentive is that the solar company would do the roof at the same time. But as I said, nothing is free. Ultimately, you're paying for it as well. But it's an interesting thing, and the only thing that is going to probably slow me down a little bit, although I didn't have this discussion with the solar guy, is if I do build the barn conceivably could get some panels and provide electricity for another part, depending on where it is. Because if I build it where I want to build it, it's not going to be in a particularly sunny area. But we have to see. And I may not be able to build the barn. I mean, I have room on my property, but I have to deal with zoning and setbacks and neighbors and all the rest. It may not happen.
Well, you know, I know with my brother was looking into putting solar panels up, and he said, yeah, he doesn't have enough light. You know, he's up in Monroe, and he has a lot of trees. And I know you has to be facing a certain direction before they can do it, make it efficient and work well.
As sun hitting that roof as possible. And a lot of people, I have some rather large trees, and I've been told for years that I would have to take down a couple of trees in order for solar panels to work. Now, the thing is that the software that they use now, they are able to look at my roof surfaces from satellites. Nobody's climbing up on anybody's roof anymore to tell whether it work. And they can actually circle which trees need to be removed and how many hours of sunlight average you're going to get on the roof with the computer software that they have now. So they're pretty...
That's incredible.
Well, it is and it isn't. They're zooming around the Earth right now.
Sure.
We use it for GPS. We use it for... reconnaissance. We use it for a lot of things, and we're able to see each person's roof from the sky. And you see how the Army uses it. You know, if they're looking for the bad guys, they're able to pinpoint what's going on. And if, you know, the software is intriguing because if you need to know how many square inches of someone's roof are. And you can zoom in. I mean, you can The lens is
I know,
on
it's,
the satellite.
It's crazy.
Thing. Yeah. So if you're worried about Big Brother, you got reasons to be worried. There's no doubt about it.
Big Brother and his family.
Yes. Yeah, and families of other countries that own satellites that are zooming.
I'll tell you the one I would like to have most of all is a satellite that can find my glasses in the morning.
Well, you know, they do make things now that you can put on your glasses to find them.
Yes. Well, that would be wonderful, you know. Or just to say, you know, where are my glasses? And have somebody answer back, you left them in the den, you know. And I'd be, okay, great.
Gene, I think that technology is here already.
It is. I know. I just haven't seen it in that particular form.
The reality is there are all kinds of sending units now that work off of Wi-Fi that you should be able to ask Google or ask Alexa where something is, and it should be able to tell you at this point by just attaching something to it that is broadcasting its location.
I'm aware of that. But I just, you know, I have to.
Your Apple telephone has something built into it for its GPS that is exactly telling you where it is. Waze knows exactly where you are. You're allowing this on a regular basis now. So it's just a question of somebody miniaturizing something enough to put it on your phone.
Right.
Or on your glasses or on something else.
I will have to look into that.
I
hate when that happens. It's awful.
I have these pieces that are on my keychains and on my computer bags and stuff like that do exactly that. So I can find it, but because when I press my phone in the search mode, it starts beeping wherever these things are. So if you press Find My Phone, it's gonna beep. And these are just called trackers.
As a matter of fact, I think I saw something. I think I saw an app on my phone. I have an Android, and I think I actually did see Find My Phone or something like that. I saw it, and I never really thought about it. I'm going to have to check that out because I frequently do that, and it is a pain. But I do get a good exercise going up and down the stairs looking for my glasses. So that there's a good part to it. But I have to check into that because I want to find out.
Paul Welty says that Alexa Silver will tell you that your glasses are on your head.
Oh, I've done that. Yeah. Thanks, Paul. I'll have to look into that. That sounds good. Yeah.
The bottom line is the technology keeps getting better and better and better. And, you know, alarm systems are better, cameras are better. The cameras that I have at the firehouse can zoom in. You know, you can do the same thing with your phone where you can zoom in on a picture now. You were never able to do that. And now all of a sudden the cameras have wide angle and close-up lenses and stuff because everybody is loving their phone as a camera.
Right.
And, you know, as this computerized thing that's in our pockets that we're carrying around all the time, you know, the features that are available, the apps that are available are astonishing. Does it take away some of our privacy? Yes, of course it does.
But if
I leave my phone at home, my office freaks out. Because they can't contact me. They're calling all my guys saying, is Steve there? Or, if I leave it in the car, I'm in trouble. You know, so we've gotten used to carrying these things. In fact, the pair of pants that I'm wearing has a cell phone pocket. It's not
I've got one of those. Yep.
Yeah. It's not by accident. They want you to carry these things.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, we've kidded about Alexa and Google listening to us all the time. They are listening to us all the time. All you have to do is mention that you're looking for a particular thing, and all of a sudden you're going to see the ads for it on your computer. You're going to see ads for it on your phone. You know, we're being played with to a great extent, and the kids are addicted to the phones. They can't be without their phones. the big punishment.
Well, we all drove. Yeah, I mean, you know, you drive around and you're mentioning having your phone in your car or whatever, and then, you know, you can't find your phone, and it's crazy. But whoever thought the phone was going to be the major hub of our lives?
It's interesting.
I mean, I use it,
that word.
Yeah. You know?
The word hub.
Yeah.
You know, we have, no matter where you are, your phone is trying to pick up the Wi-Fi signal that's
right
in place.
Absolutely.
It's trying to connect you.
Even if you don't want to be connected,
that's
they
right
will find you. Yeah.
And we're doing inspections now where I know people are listening to what we're saying.
Well, yeah.
We ask that, you know, we have a degree of privacy so that we can have conversations with the person buying the house. And yet there's nanny cams and cameras all over the place and Nest thermostats. And, you know, everything's got a potential listening device in it or a camera that's paying attention.
You know, another thing I use the camera for, which is great, is if like you're at your computer and you're trying to fix something. So on your screen, they're telling you, do this, do this, do this, do this, at the same time. And I always take a snapshot of the directions.
Okay.
Because, you know, what I have to do is I have to use the computer to do what I'm trying to get done. So I have a photo of it so I know what the next step is without actually having to go back and forth with the computer, if you understand what I'm talking about here.
Totally.
But it's, you know, I'm using my computer, my phone, really frequently as a camera. You know, just to snapshot something, you know, how you break something. Well, here's how it used to look, or where was, you know, you put the screw in the wrong place. Well, here's where it should have been. But you took a picture of it, or you disabled it, and it's remarkable. And I have one of those Nest thermostats in my condo,
right?
Which is cool. No pun intended, but right. Yeah.
Well, you know,
they're everywhere.
What's happening with us is that when someone is hiring us to do an inspection, we're trying to send them the contract for the inspection and some of the paperwork that they need to sign. That we used to do just on site, we'll actually send it by email to them or by text if we can't send it to their email. And many times people will say, well, I don't have a printer. I can't sign this and send it back to you. And I'll say to them, sign it and take a picture of it with your phone and send it to me.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the whole idea of a fax machine is pretty much done now.
Yeah.
Having to have a printer and do a hard copy of something when you can just simply take a picture and send it, it's remarkable.
And it makes me laugh, too, when you have to sign something with your fingernail. You know, it never looks like your handwriting.
I don't think
it could be anybody.
Anyone cares.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to be breaking news of the weather. Got about 5 minutes of break from us. Then we're going to come back. We've got a whole other hour. If you want to call in, it's 203-661-5051. We'll be back in a couple of minutes. And please stay with us.
AM 1490 and FM 105.5 WGCH Greenwich.
USA Radio News with Mike Fortier.
More Americans returning to normal as more of us get vaccinated. That transition back to pre-COVID activities can be stressful for some, though. Florida psychiatrist Dr. Daniel Bober on CBS News Friday with advice for those struggling.
You have to think about going into a swimming pool. You don't have to dive into the deep end. You just dip your foot into the water. You don't have to dive right in. Just take it one step at a time.
You can find tips on how to deal with COVID-related stress at cdc.gov. As part of our national return to normal, President Biden will meet face-to-face with more world leaders. The White House announcing Friday Biden will visit the U.K. for a G7 summit and Belgium for a NATO summit, both visits coming in June. This will be his first overseas trip since taking office. One issue Biden and our allies might discuss, Russia. Opposition leader Alexei Navalny ending his hunger strike Friday after 24 days. The hunger strike, a protest against what he calls his politically motivated imprisonment. This is USA Radio News.
This is good news, maybe exactly when you need it too. Right now, MediShare is waiving their new member fees. This could save you money on top of all that you'll save each month by becoming a member of MediShare. So many people are looking for a healthcare solution right now, seeing the cost of COBRA plans, for instance, and MediShare is the affordable alternative to health insurance. The typical family saves $500 a month. You might save even more. MediShare is a Christian community that shares each other's healthcare costs, and because of the current economic situation, they're making it easier than ever. Apply by April 30th, and you can save an additional $170 on your first month. I'll give you the number here in a second, and if you call, you can get a price within 2 minutes. Just tell them the promo code SHARE to receive your additional savings. Maybe now is the time to make the switch like more than 400,000 people already have and start saving. Here it is. Call 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE. 833-34-BIBLE.
Russia, among many countries, dealing with sharply rising COVID cases. The country announcing Friday a 10-day work stoppage in May to bring case numbers down. Japan imposing a state of emergency in parts of the country, including Tokyo, until May 11th. India seems to be the hardest hit, though. India breaking world records 3 days in a row for most new cases. Saturday, they announced almost 347,000 new cases and over 2,600 deaths. That's the country's highest single-day death toll of the pandemic. Good news in the U.S., though. Federal health officials Friday approved using the Johnson & Johnson vaccine again, effective immediately. CDC Director Dr. Rochelle Walensky.
We have three safe and effective options for a COVID-19 vaccine in this country. And the J&J is an important vaccine offering key advantages, including its single-dose option and its viability when the supply chain may not allow for freezers.
The vaccine paused over a week ago after reports of blood clots in some recipients. 15 women now reporting blood clots after getting the vaccine. Three of them die. That's out of 4 million women that have received it. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, and I want to tell you that arthritis is not a genetic thing. It's not a disease of aging. Neither is osteoporosis. Get a hold of my book. It's All in Your Head. It goes into the 25 different diseases you get when you have osteoporosis of the skull. These are all reversible. You take the Healthy Bone and Joint Pack, the MSM, vitamin D3, stay away from all the bad foods, including gluten, and guess what? You'll regrow all your bones, including your skull and your legs and your hips and everything else. Contact us at usaradiohealth.com. That's usaradiohealth.com.
Police in North Carolina promising transparency after the shooting of Andrew Brown Jr., yet no body cam video has been released. Here's Wendy King.
North Carolina Governor Roy Cooper is joining the call for the release of police body cam video of the shooting death of a black man in Elizabeth City. The sheriff's office said Andrew Brown tried to run as deputies arrived with arrest warrants at his home. Witnesses say he tried to drive away when officers fired shots at him. Officials say officers from other agencies were called because Brown has resisted arrest in the past. An investigation is underway. From the USA Radio News Pacific Northwest Bureau, I'm Wendy King.
Black Lives Matter protesters disrupt proceedings at a state capitol. Here's Tim Berg.
Demonstrators chanting Black Lives Matter and storming the Oklahoma Capitol, forcing the State House of Representatives into lockdown in order to protest several Republican-backed bills, including one that provides legal protections to motorists fleeing riots. Oklahoma State Representative Kevin West tells Fox News he believes the protesters may be doing more harm than good.
Any time that you're being disruptive, I feel like that hurts your cause. The First Amendment clearly establishes the right of free speech, the right to peaceably assemble, and also grants the right to petition the government for a redress of grievances.
From the USA Radio News Phoenix Bureau, I'm Tim Berg.
For USA Radio News, I'm Mike 40.
From the WGCH Weather Center.
Mostly sunny and warmer for today with highs 65 to 70. Clouds will be on the increase tonight with rain developing, lows 45 to 50. Rain will taper to showers tomorrow, highs 55 to 60. And mostly sunny, breezy for Monday near 60 degrees. Sunny skies turning warmer on Tuesday, 65 to 70, and mostly sunny Wednesday, lower 70s. I'm meteorologist Michael Frascione on 1490 and 105.5 WGCH.
The following show has paid WGCH a broadcasting fee, and the opinions expressed during the show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or ownership of WGCH Radio. This is Around the House. Here is your host, Steve Gladstone.
All right, we're talking about, we've been talking off the air about infrastructure improvements, train rides, stuff like that. You know, I think that Stamford and Greenwich and a lot of these towns, as they make improvements, as they do streetscapes, they're putting in new traffic lights, they're putting in crosswalks, they're putting in a lot of things that make it a little bit safer. The train stations are being improved. There are a lot of things that have been put off to one side for so many years that we don't think about it anymore. But public transportation is going to be a lot more important as we try and get away from some of the combustion machines and some of the
fossil.
We have become so spoiled that we get into the car and use fuels that we shouldn't be using, you know, and so the pricing keeps going up, but we keep driving and we keep spending the money on it. But a lot of people feel that as we move more towards electric vehicles, there's going to be more autonomous vehicles. And when you need to go somewhere, you might just call a company like Uber or something like that and get into an autonomous driving car and go somewhere and then have it pick you up and take you back home without the necessity of owning a vehicle. And that because there won't be burning so much fuel, that the pricing for those trips is going to go down. So there's this, I don't know whether it's a fantasy or it's something that's going to happen, but the concept of owning cars may change over time. And, you know, I have a vehicle that I just use to take stuff to the dump. And I pay for insurance and I pay for gas and tires and all the rest of it, but I rarely drive it. And the Volt I use for little pops, and then the work vehicle I have. So in effect, I have three vehicles that I own that I am operating and keeping insured. If I didn't have to do that, I would have significant savings. Maybe I could buy that geothermal unit.
Yeah, seriously.
You know, what our priorities are now are probably going to be very different from what our priorities are in about 15 years. Mine must be just buying a cane to walk. I don't know.
Oh, that's an uplifting thought. Thank you. And but I'm looking. I know my next car, whatever that will be. I want to have it as a hybrid or you know something electric, because they're making it. They're still beautiful. They're coming up with beautiful looking cars.
There's no reason for it not to be. I mean, my Volt from 10 years ago is a beautiful car.
It still is.
At it, and it's just a really nicely designed car. I looked at a Bolt the other day, and I didn't feel that it was anything special. But when I looked at the Volt, that was really a classy-looking car.
And, I agree, totally. Yep.
And, you know, we were behind a Volvo the other day, I think maybe yesterday, and Volvo has come out with a hybrid and an electric car.
Yep.
A lot of the Hyundai's got one now. Lot of, you know, it's not the most expensive cars that are going to attract people. It's going to
right. be
the middle-of-the-road cars that people are going to say, well, yeah, maybe I'm spending $5,000 more, but I'm going to be spending so much less on gas. My Highlander is so much more fuel efficient than the pig Durango I used to drive. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
I used to get gas stations all the time. And I bought that because it was a four-wheel drive vehicle. They're all four-wheel drive vehicles now.
Yeah. I think that it's great. They're gorgeous. A lot of them are gorgeous cars, period. And they're fast, a lot of them. and they're just getting better and better. And I think it's going to be, it's not going to be such an ugly looking or an odd looking machine, but it'll be a work of art.
Look, Model 3 Tesla is a very pretty little car.
It is. It's gorgeous. I agree.
So many Teslas now, because people are actually going out and they're buying it. And Tesla's been smart. They've stayed with the three or four designs that they have, so people can't tell what year they are. They just have the functions, and many of the computer functions are just upgradable, so people are able to get all of the functions that they want. And I think that's been very smart of them, because we're so used to cars going out of style and looking bad years later. I don't feel that way about the Model S or the Model X. I think that they look very pretty. And
well, what they're also doing is they're coming out with cars where the wheels and all the driving part of it is the same. All the batteries are the same, and you just put a different top on it to finish off the car. And, you know, it's like interchangeably. You can do this thing.
With Volkswagens, with the dune buggies and stuff like that. It was basically the same powertrain underneath, but it was cool on the outside. And believe me, the car manufacturers know how to do this. I was saying to Sandy yesterday as we were driving down the thruway, I said, you know, the Lexus looks like the Camry, looks like that one, that looks like that one. So many of these cars look like all they did was change the taillights to look a little different from their competitors.
Right.
But you know how we talk about washing machines and air conditioners all being made in the same factory with different names being put on it, because there's people who only want trains and people who only want carriers or only want Goodman or whatever, and they're all probably made in the same factory with different names on it. Change the color on it. So,
I mean, that's what marketing has been doing all these years. When you look at, go to detergent, the aisle with all the detergents, they're all basically the same, just different colors, different names, from the same companies.
Well, you know, all of the gasoline that we buy comes from the same place in Bridgeport. And then they talk about all the different additives that they're putting in it. You know, it's all, in my mind, it's all a crock. It's just not true that one is better than the other. The octane is the same. The detergent cleaning is the same. You know, Citgo will say it's a higher tier, the high tier gasoline. It's all coming from the same pump.
Yeah.
They bring it to
the cars. My car. I've had my car. It was a 2017. I've got less than 30,000 miles on it. Because I work at home and I don't go anywhere.
Pandemic, a lot of people are not driving anywhere. So, you know, the traffic's been a little tighter, the gasoline consumption's been a little bit better, but the price keeps creeping up above $3 now.
I've seen that. It's just amazing. I want an electric car. I think it'd be great.
Well, I think that you're not alone. I think that the manufacturers are starting to realize that people want to get away from the gas pump, and they want fast. And, you know, when you talk about fast, and electric cars are, when someone drives an electric car, they're in for a big shocker, how fast they are and how off the line they are, because there's so much fewer parts in there. It doesn't need the same kind of lubrication. It doesn't have hundreds of parts. It's little motors on the wheels, and when they go bad, it's not so expensive to fix. So,
and the materials are stronger than steel ever was, and they're lighter, you know, carbon and all that that they're using. It's just amazing how light it is and how strong and better, you know, for a car, better fuel consumption.
Yeah, so the safety devices are smarter. The technology just keeps improving. One of the things that I'm probably going to do with the Volt is have the batteries replaced. And even if it costs me a bunch of, you know, several thousand dollars, it'll be like having a brand new car again.
Yeah, that's true.
So, You know, even with the what little degradation has taken place, if I put new batteries in it, it should be like brand new. And that's going to change the way we look at mileage, and we look at, you know, we used to say 100,000 miles with a car, and it was pretty much done.
And that was it.
And now we talk about 200,000 miles in a car, and maybe it would be done. But an electric vehicle, I think you're going to get many, many more miles out of it.
I think so, too. And I think it's going to, and they're going to, you know, have come around over the last several years about making good-looking cars.
Yeah.
That's always the attraction, at least for me. That's the first thing you go, wow, that's a gorgeous car. I want to have that. And I'll keep my car that I have now, but it's got a stick, and I like to drive a stick. And you're starting to see, I think, a little bit more of that even coming back.
Somewhere or other. That's a long, die-hard thing for a lot of auto enthusiasts. They want to be able to shift gears.
I love it.
I think that you won't miss that when you've got an autonomous car that's just going to accelerate and decelerate along with traffic. But it's going to be a different kind of driving. It's going to be a different kind.
I don't want an autonomous car.
Well, but I think you're going to end up with one. I think that that's going to be the future. Is that we're not going to be driving as much as we think. We're going to be. You know, even Disney had that years ago, where people would just get in the vehicle, put in the address, and the car would take them there. And maybe you'll go to the track and drive go-karts and feel that adrenaline rush differently. But I think transportation is going to change.
Well, you know, Tesla's already on top of that.
We're already all fed up with sitting in traffic.
That
if the car could just pull into the lane and you could read a paper or read a book, it would be like being on the train. You wouldn't have to pay attention to what's going on.
Well, there are cars that you can back up. They'll back up and park your car.
Isn't that remarkable?
I think it's just, you know, hands-free, and it backs you into the car space, and you're done.
Yeah.
That'd be great. You know, now if they could serve me my food, that'd be even better, but that's a possibility coming down the road.
Well, when we talk about automation, we got to talk about budget blinds. And I have automated blinds that are in my house that I can simply, right now, use a remote and push a button and those blinds open and close. But it's just a matter of time before I'm going to be saying to Google or Alexa, open the blinds in the kitchen, and there'll be something hooked up to those blinds that accepts my voice command. But
if I wanted to have that, where would I go to get something like that?
Well, I'm not sure that Andrew's got that yet, but I think that that's just a matter of time before we're able to have automated stuff that you don't have to push a button.
Easily.
Let me get into this. Jeez.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Commercial without you.
Just playing.
If you call budget blinds, well, you're going to have to wait. I'm doing them. You're both doing this on purpose. Budget blinds of Greenwich, Stamford, New Canaan, Darien, Rowate, and Norwalk, you call Andrew Bogdan. Andrew's going to come with his display vehicle, and he's going to show you all the different options. If he's got that option, he'll show it to you. But you can get blinds that go up, blinds that go down, blinds that are light deadening, blinds that are automated. You can get plantation blinds. You can get draperies. You can get just about anything to cover your windows so that your neighbors can't look in, and at some point so that you can't look out if you want to be able to insulate those windows and keep the cold out during the winter. You want to call up budget blinds. And the great thing about budget blinds is not only are they affordable, but they measure for you professionally. And they're not going to be approximate. They're going to be exact. So somebody knows how to use a tape measure, and they're going to tell you whether or not you should be putting it on the window or inside the trim of the window. They're going to make suggestions to you whether you should have one in there. I have some double windows. Whether or not you should have one set of blinds or whether you should have two separate ones. You're going to be able to pick the colors because he's got color swatches for all the different things, and you can change the way the whole room looks by just color. Victor comes when the order arrives, and he will install it, so you don't have to even lift the screwdriver. I know that there's other companies that say, oh, you can install this and stuff. If you're not handy and you're not willing to get up on a stepladder and do this, they're going to do it for you. So you're going to call them. They're going to come and show you all the different designs. You're going to pick it. You're going to have them measure. They're going to deliver it and install it, and it's going to look beautiful. And then they have this no-questions-asked warranty for the first 5 years, and some of their manufacturers for a lifetime. If anything ever bothers you about any of this stuff, they will reorder the order and give you new stuff, which no one else does that. So if you want them, you got to give them a call, and it'd be nice to know what that number is. 203-580-3362. 203-580-3362. Budget Blinds. And tell them you heard about it on Around the House. Now, do you really need to take a break? Let's take a break.
Green Solutions Landscaping and Tree Services is a licensed and insured full-service provider of landscaping, tree removal, masonry, snow removal, and other property maintenance projects. Green Solutions has been serving Fairfield County since 2011 and is operated and managed by Bernal Mora. Green Solutions offers its customers a comprehensive suite of services which will make your property something to be proud of all year long. At Green Solutions, we treat your property as if it was our own. We provide free estimates and references upon request. And they get involved with property management, seasonal cleanups, weeding, pruning, mulching, weekly mowing, planting, grass seeding and sod, irrigation systems, lawn aeration, gutter cleanup, poison ivy removal, masonry, tree removal, fencing, firewood, installation of Christmas lights, and landscaping construction projects, and even snow removal during the winter. So if you want to give them a call, it's 203-400-4949. That's 203-400-4949. www.greensolutionslandscapingllc.com. That's a mouthful. So www.greensolutionslandscapingllc.com. And once again, 203-400-4949. If you are in a business that you are not particularly happy about being in and you would like to change professions, we at the New England School of Home Inspection are starting classes. We're doing Saturday, Sunday classes right after the radio show. I go run into the classes, and it's a 10-day class. So 10 different dates on the calendar, or 10 different weekends on the calendar. And you can learn and take the pre-licensing course for home inspection and complete the first step of getting your license for becoming a home inspector. I've been doing this for over 35 years. It's a wonderful business. And if you have been in the trades or in any business that you're considering changing because you're not happy and you would like to do something else, and you are interested in doing something that is consumer-oriented, and this is a business for people who like to communicate all kinds of things about houses, you can call me at 203-327-6824. That's 203-327-6824. Or you can go on our website, which is New England School of Home Inspection.com. New England School of Home Inspection.com. And there's information with the dates on it. And if you have questions, you can always call me at 203-327-6824.
And now, Here's Steve Gladstone on Around the House.
Familiar voice. All right.
Yes.
The bottom line is the people that are not getting the vaccination are going to mess us up.
Yes.
They're going to mess us up. And this is one of those things where you've got to do for the greater good. And there are a lot of people out there that are still dragging their feet and not getting the vaccination. And they really need to change their mindset. The only way that we're going to get herd immunity, just like wiping out polio and wiping out tuberculosis and wiping out a lot of other diseases, is we need everybody to get that vaccination in their arm. And while I understand a lot of people may be afraid, and I understand a lot of people say, well, if everybody else gets it, I don't have to worry about it, or I've already had COVID, and so I don't have to worry about getting it again. They really should get vaccinated. And I urge people, please, for the better good, go get vaccinated. I do not believe for a minute that there is any reason.
Any black magic or anything going behind scenes.
No, they're not injecting anything into you that's either dangerous to you. Of course, there's always going to be some people who will get sicker or will have problems because the world is filled with problems. And there are people who have reactions. My daughter, if she gets anywhere near a mango, she'll have anaphylactic shock if she's not careful. I understand that, but the numbers are so remote.
Yeah.
It's just something that, try and do it. Try and get through this. I know that there are naysayers out there, that there are people who are nervous about it. Go do it. Protect yourself. Protect your family. There are going to be children now that are getting vaccines and parents that haven't had it. And those kids could still get sick and still get those parents sick. Don't take any chances. Don't put it as a risk in your family. We don't want any more people dying. And we don't want any more people on respirator, because that's a terrible thing. And the long-term effects of this disease, we haven't even begun to find out, where people are having all kinds of organ problems as a result of having and brain fog and all. You know, people are describing all kinds of different side effects that they've had from getting COVID. Don't take the chance of getting COVID. Don't get the chance of getting it from your kids or from family friends or, you know, as we get closer and closer to more people being vaccinated, more people are going out to restaurants, more people are getting involved with other people that may have had one shot, may have had no shots, may be wearing their masks, may not be wearing their masks. Please don't put yourself in any jeopardy. Don't put yourself in dangerous condition. Go get vaccinated. If you're eligible, go get vaccinated. Pretty much
it's free.
Anyone older than 16 is able to get vaccinated right now. Pick up the phone, make the appointment, and go get vaccinated.
It's free. Come on, you know? It's
not even a question of paying for it. I mean, my goodness, some of these. Nauke said he's off to get zombie shot number 2.
Good.
Yes, good. Go get it. Have a headache, be tired, maybe have a fever for a day. That's a big difference from being in the hospital for months and possibly not returning.
Or being a ventilator.
I can't imagine. I can't imagine. We're so lucky that we didn't get sick.
Yeah,
this
absolutely.
This has killed millions of people. And yet there's people walking around saying, nah, it's not going to get me. I'm going to be
the one. I don't believe it. Or so-and-so died because of something else. It wasn't COVID. It was something else they died from. No, it was COVID.
What people don't realize, or I mean, plenty of people realize, but some people don't realize, you're not going to be able to travel because the world is sick. The entire world is sick.
Yeah. That's right.
You know, and countries like Brazil, people are dying like crazy. They're going through the really bad times that we were going through right now. There are other countries that don't even report how bad things are. And I'm waiting to go travel. I want to get out of here. I want to be with people. I want to enjoy the next 25 years of my life. And yet there are going to be places you can't go because the numbers are crazy. And they don't have the vaccine, or they're not taking the vaccine, or there's, you know, concerns about certain vaccines. So,
well, I say, well, the science is there, and let's not have it science deniers when it comes to this vaccine.
Millions of people have gotten the shots now. Millions.
Right.
And there have been a handful of people that have gotten sick from the vaccine. There's no doubt about it. And there's going to be another handful that are going to get sick from it. But the odds are so remote that people have to take that chance. They just do.
And, you know, it's like you say, you won't be able to go anywhere because people around you won't want you, or you can't get on a plane for a certain reason. You know, you didn't have your shots or whatever it may be. You know, the science is there. It really is. And it's safe. It's safe. You got to do it. You have to do it. That's all there is to it. Nice little rhyme there. I like that.
I like that. All right. I have to give a tip of the week.
Okay.
So here's my tip of the week. And this is, once again, from a book that Bishop gave me called Haley's Hints. And I believe he's a Canadian. And this is, you know, for many of us, what we're doing now is we're prettying up our yards, and we are cleaning up the garden beds. And one of the tips here I thought was really very smart. To make, you know how you usually will take a leaf bag, or you'll take one of these plastic garbage bags, and you will hold on to it and try and throw the stuff in, and the bag is constantly collapsing, and the mouth of the bag is not being held open. So when you're bagging leaves and debris, make a leaf bagging receptacle. And the way that you can do that is you can recycle the leg part of an old TV tray. So you take the legs, you take the tray off. Most of those trays popped off so you could clean them. What you do is you take the two X-shaped legs and you put the bag over through the middle of it and over the edges of it. And it will help it to stand up so that the mouth of the bag is open, and you can just dump the leaves and debris in there. And to cut down on the amount of bags you use, place some leaves into a large, sturdy garbage can to about halfway mark, and then take your grass and weed trimmer to reduce the amount of leaves. You can actually put the weed whacker into the garbage bag, into the garbage can, and mulch up some of the leaves. So you can get it chopped up. I can do that with my leaf sucker when I'm cutting up the leaves for fall. That turns it in almost like a dust, and then I can fill a lot more bags with the debris. There's your simple tip. If you've got one of those old TV trays that you used to put in front of you while you were watching TV and eating a TV dinner. Still have one of those?
I think that's a great idea.
You have it?
Because I have a couple of those. Well, yeah, I mean they're newer models, but they're the, you know, the cross, the X balancing there.
Right.
And that's a really cool idea. I never thought about doing that before. It's great.
I tell you how many times I've held on to the side of those plastic bags and they keep collapsing to you. And
I know.
Tilt and fall over, and everything that you've just put in, it falls out.
And I stand there yelling at the bag. You know, it's like,
of course.
You know, that's what I do. But that's a nice, handy tip. Even I can use that.
Even you can.
Good idea. Yeah.
All right. So,
Yes, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, it's, you know, I like some of these tips in the book. Some of them are not really apply to us, but I realized that he was a Canadian because he talks about cleaning the eaves troughs.
You know, the eaves, what is that?
Eaves troughs. That's what they call gutters in Canada, is eaves troughs.
Eaves troughs. Yeah. Wow, okay.
But
I didn't know that.
Cleaning the gutters is a year-round thing, and most people don't do it nearly enough. But as the leaves fall, we realize that they're getting clogged. I am not a big proponent of putting screening on the gutters because I don't feel that it keeps out everything. But cleaning the gutters on a regular basis is really important. And you can do it a lot of different ways. You can use a leaf blower with an extension pipe. If the gutters aren't too tall, you can actually blow out them. Or you can hire somebody to climb up on the ladder and clean them. But you got to remember to clean them, because if there's a lot of debris in the leaders or in the gutters themselves, they aren't going to be able to accept the water when it's raining. And then you're going to have a problem. And you want to try and extend the leader pipe drains as far away from the foundation as you can stand, at least 4 or 5 feet away from the foundation so that you don't take a chance of getting water in the basement. Because nobody wants water in the basement.
Well, you know, it's funny because when I go by certain houses in my area here, I see the draining pipe there. I always look to see if it's set up properly. I'm aware of it now. You know, it's like, well, I'm not going to tell. Well, I should tell Steve, but it's, you know, I'm not going to come over and do that. But I can actually, I look at that, I notice it, and it's. I'm saying, yep, they did it the right way, or not.
So this week's offering, I actually have somebody who has told me that they're potentially interested in my O-gauge Lionel train.
Ooh, really?
I may have somebody coming over to look and maybe purchasing my trains that are for sale.
Wow, a local even. Wow.
Yeah, not too far away. And I also have a Jim Beam canister train that I'm interested in selling that is a decorative train that would look really nice on someone's shelf that is not an electric train, but it is merely plastic and porcelain
showpiece.
Showpiece in the shape of a train that has a tanker car and a box car and a caboose and the locomotive and the tender. So if somebody is interested in that, that's my deal of the week.
Mm-hmm.
They can contact me at 327-6824 if they're interested in that. That would even be good in a restaurant if somebody wanted to put that on a display in a restaurant.
How big is it?
Oh, I would say it's probably about 4 or 5 feet long in length.
Oh, really? Wow.
When it's set up. They're a good-sized frame. We are slowly purging some of this stuff that is sitting on shelves in boxes in my house. So if somebody's interested in that, they can call us. If you want to call into the station and you've got something going on in your house, this is a good time. 203-661-5051. 203-661-5051. The phone lines are wide open. And it's time for a break, so if you dial now, we'll talk to you after the break.
David Baker, Floor Coverings International of Fairfield, providing all types of flooring solutions from initial design through expert installation, located in Fairfield and New Haven counties. His success is being able to connect with his customers. He makes buying floors easy, safe, and effortless, striving to provide a different experience from anything else that people have ever experienced before. He's part of Floor Coverings International, an organization with over 115 locations throughout the U.S. and Canada, offering a wide selection of flooring products in several price ranges, including carpet, hardwood, natural stone, ceramic tile, laminate flooring, vinyl, specialty materials, and eco-friendly selections, including renewable, sustainable hardwood products, natural linoleum, cork, and bamboo. What makes them different is they bring the store to you. So you call and make an appointment at 203-386-1776, and he brings the mobile display room to your door. And he'll bring in the samples, show you what you need to know, and you pick it, he measures it, and they'll come and install it. He brings the store to your door and inspiration to your feet. That's Floor Coverings International of Fairfield, 203-386-1776. Let's just talk about M&M. M&M Construction is my friend Marek. And every time we've had an idea around the house to do something, I've brought Marek in the first time just to give me some ideas. And that's a wonderful thing. But many times we inspect houses and people say, oh, before we move in, we're going to renovate all this and that. And I'll say to them, do you have a contractor in place? And they'll say, well, no, we'll find one. Well, it's a little bit more time consuming than that. And you want somebody who's going to go take out a permit. You want somebody who's going to do the job properly. And that's M&M Construction. I have gotten tons and tons of testimonials from my clients who I've referred Marek and his guys to. They do a beautiful job. They use the right materials. If you are trying to cheap out something, he'll work with you, but he'll do his best to try and make sure that the job is done top-notch. M&M Construction can be reached at 203-834-9719, 203-834-9719. M&M Construction, FairfieldCountyContractor.com is their website. I urge you to call them at 203-834-9719. All right, let me tell you a little bit about the window people. They've been in business over 80 years doing home improvements and creating home improvement excellence. Ted Davey and I have been friends for more than 35 years, and they're located at 43 McGee Avenue in Stamford. The window people do all kinds of home improvements at this point, not only windows and doors, but they're doing roofing, they're doing siding, they're doing all kinds of improvements. Their website is www.thewindowpeople.net. You can reach them by dialing 203-323-1804. They've been selling and installing high-quality windows, doors, roofing, skylights, siding, awnings, selling it to homeowners and contractors and businesses in Fairfield and Westchester counties since 1932. And Ted Davey is involved with every aspect of it, and a friend of mine. So when you call him, tell him Steve Gladstone told you to call.
Here's Steve Gladstone and his show, Around the House.
All right, we're back, and we've certainly been talking about a lot of different things. The you know, one of the major things that we say in our house inspection report is to add handrails for stairs and guardrails for walls and places where kids could get hurt by falling off or falling into places. And I am still seeing a lot of swimming pools that don't have appropriate fencing around it. I'm seeing a lot of gates that don't self-latch and self-close. It's remarkable to me how builders neglect to put handrails because it's not a code requirement. And it should be a safety requirement. In almost every instance, there's a couple of steps, having something to hold on to. We experience a weather pattern here where we experience a lot of rain, where mossy steps become very slippery. We experience a lot of snow and ice. And I just don't understand why so many people do not have handrails on staircases. I've always put them in places where I felt that they were important. And to me, especially with senior citizens, having something to hold on to when you're going in and out of a staircase, whether it's two steps or three steps or 15 steps, having something to hold on to is really critically important. And, you know, since I've been having this problem with my leg and, you know, a pulled hamstring, I'm holding on to that handrail for dear life. Because I never know when I'm going to get a spasm in my leg that is going to wake me up. Potentially.
Well, you know, I'm in the same kind of thing, in that we have handrails in the condo, and I'm always putting my hand on the handrail. Because this is kind of funny. I fell up the stairs by tripping. And luckily, I had been, you know, holding on to the staircase railing, and so I didn't end up falling the rest of the way down the stairs. It was just, you instantly grab it, because your hand is hovering it or holding on to it, and it will save you. I've been saved a few times by doing that. Well, I always hold on to it now.
I find that I trip up steps a lot. Because if there's any irregularity in the steps, and there's a lot of bad steps, I get used to a certain height with the steps, and if the height varies at all, I find it. I am, you know, dead on with finding bad staircases, and I will trip upstairs. I will stumble,
yep.
And if there's a handrail, I make a point of holding on to handrails when I'm climbing steps or going down steps. But so many staircases, you know, we go into these houses that have basement stairs and there's no handrail or there's no balusters on the side of the, you know, spindles on the side of the steps, and it's wide open. It can be very dangerous because if you stumble, you're going all the way down. And believe it or not, there's a lot of winder staircases in a lot of houses. And winders are the steps that diminish in on one side or the other, where there it goes to almost nothing. And if you slip on one of those staircases, you're going to go all the way down on your butt if you're lucky, or you're going to go flying. So, you know, improving the handrail on both exterior and interior staircases, we make a point of pointing it out to everybody when we're doing an inspection, and we put it into the report. I can't believe how often we're saying, you know, so much of this is safety.
I'm kind of surprised that's not in, you know, things that you have to. It's mandated that you have to have handrails.
Well, they mandate that if you have more than four steps, you have to have a handrail.
But so you do have it, okay.
That a lot of builders get away with not having to have handrail in places where they think it isn't going to be pretty, is they'll do four steps and then they'll do a landing.
Yeah.
Three steps and a landing, and then three steps and a landing, and then three steps and a landing. So they break it up so you've got a platform. But it's just, you know, we're not thinking about Connecticut and weather. And there's going to be, you know, a foot of snow from time to time, or there's going to be wet flagstone or wet fieldstone or brick or, you know, weeds grow through, even asphalt as a path will get slick and slippery. And then we have a trip and stumble hazard that people have not thought about. So,
where I used to live, it was like, they had like, I guess it was like slate stairs down to the driveway. And there was one stair that was longer than the other in, you know, the depth. I don't know exactly how you say it, but it threw my timing off of walking down the stairs. And luckily, there were handrails. I didn't end up face down in the driveway. I'm saying, how did that get through? How did anybody not take care of this thing? But I don't live there anymore, luckily, so it's really dangerous because you're not ready to defend yourself against getting hurt. It just happens.
People are quick to blame the building department, but many times it's not the building department. It's the person that built the set of steps or neglected to put handrails in or neglected to put returns so that it is less likely that you'd catch a bag on the end of it and stuff.
Mm.
There are all kinds of requirements, but not everybody follows them. So it's tricky.
Even putting the handrails like in, bathtubs, I'm really looking into that if I possibly can get it done. Because it's scary. You fall, that's pretty hard landing.
Well, there's nothing soft in a bathroom to hit.
And right.
People don't realize that a lot of these new designs of bathtubs, they're nothing more than just very slippery troughs to get in and out.
Yeah.
And if you yep. have given yourself a grab bar or something to hold on to that's sturdy, you're going to grab a towel bar if you're falling, or you're going to grab the shower curtain if there is one, and you're going
right.
to just rip it right off the wall. Most shower curtains are held up by just pressure side to side. So if you pull on that shower curtain as you're falling, it's just going to come down and hit you on the head.
Yeah, yeah.
So, we're really quick to forget how fragile we are. And, no one thinks that they're going to get hurt until they get hurt. So we point out a lot of things during inspections that people say, yeah, I don't need that. And then they get into the tub and they can't figure out a way to get out of the tub. Or they slip and they bang their head on the vanity or on the tile floor. And then they're lying there. And, I was watching, there's this... show about Orthodox Jews called
What's Happening
on Netflix. Very interesting show. Really shows how the Hasidim live, and a little depressing from time to time. But he was standing on a chair changing a light bulb and fell off the chair, and there he was lying on the floor, and he couldn't get up, and he didn't have his cell phone within reach. And so he was waiting for someone to find him. And this is how crazy we are. We don't realize how vulnerable we are and how quickly we could be hurt doing something foolish.
At any age.
At any age. My son broke his arm when he was like 2 years old. He was climbing on his desk in his room. And he fell off the desk and broke his arm at two. And how many people have slid off ladders or slipped on the walk? One of my guys slipped on the side of a house and broke his ankle in a bunch of bad places, had to go through surgery.
Oh, man.
That was a bad day for him and a bad day.
Yeah, no kidding.
And yesterday, it's months later now, and yesterday I noticed he was still limping.
Sometimes those things don't go away. They're there, you're hindered for the rest of your life. Why I have a bad back, so.
So, there's so many ways that you can get hurt, and we try and delineate some things so that people are less likely to get hurt in their homes. But I don't, we don't follow up and say, did you put a handrail in? Did you put guardrails in? And a lot of times the reason why they're putting railings that are not really smart, people will put these wire railings in that kids can climb.
Oh, yeah.
They look great. And the reason why they do it is it meets code, but they want the view. They want to look out the window and see what's in the backyard, whether it's a water view or it's trees or whatever. They want to be able to see through it. But the problem is the four-year-old, he's quick to step up on those cables and climb on it.
Yeah.
Now we got a kid climbing on the railing. So we warn people about this, but I don't know how many people. I don't go back and make sure that they change things.
That's that industrial looking.
Yeah.
Hand. That's what I thought. Yeah.
All stretched from post to post. Yeah. And we see that look all the time.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I never thought how dangerous it was till you just brought it up.
Well,
that's
any
true.
Kind of horizontal railing potentially climbable.
Yeah.
And, you know, people do that all the time. So it looks bright and sunny out there.
Looks like I don't know what the, we should have listened to the Michael Fascioni this morning with the weather. I didn't hear what the weather was, but it looks like it's nice, so good outdoor day.
I see people outside walking, which is nice, and they're wearing short sleeves. And
well, people are going to wear short sleeves, even if it's 40 degrees out. Last couple of days, there were a couple, you know, cold days. You still see people out there, their sneakers, you know, shorts. And I'm going, I'm not ready for that yet. I want to be warm and comfortable.
There are diehards that are constantly wearing shorts when it's really cold out.
I know, in the middle of winter.
So now my dogs are going to bark, and it looks like these two neighbors of mine are going over to check my chicken. It's become the neighborhood farm, I guess. You know, I went up to...
Becoming an attraction.
Went up to Designs by Lee. He's got goats.
Goats?
Yeah, you know, goats are kind of cute.
They're cool little animals, yeah.
They make a lot of noise, though. I've got enough noise with this rooster that I don't want any more noise. And I don't want to feed... I don't want to feed any more animals. I can't believe how much chicken feed I'm going through, and medicines and other things. And, you know, Sandy's having fun, but I'm just spending money left and right on chicken.
What did you buy? Hay? What did you buy? What did you buy for the...
We're buying hay. We're buying grain. We're buying garbage cans to put the stuff in so that we don't have rats. Yeah. It's very interesting. So if you want some eggs, they're only a couple of $1,000 a piece.
No problem. No problem. Well, that's something.
Nobody called. We've only got a couple of minutes left. Usually someone will call at the last minute and ask a complicated question.
Right. So if you have nothing to say, give us a call. We'll answer the phone.
It's too late now. So... Today is the day after Earth Day, days after Earth Day. Today's the 24th. Mm-hmm. So it is day 114 of the year. Do you know that?
No, I wasn't aware of that.
It is day 114 of the new year, and there's 251 days left. So
I better get ready.
So we're approximately one-third of the way through. A little bit more than one.
Already. Boy.
So it'll be winter soon.
Yeah, the trees will be starting to be growing, and then they'll be, throwing their stuff back on the ground again.
It'll be great that things are budding up. And tune in next week. Maybe we'll be able to get Char Barnes to come and talk a little bit about gardening. We'll try and get her to come on next
week. Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a good idea. This is her time of year.
Yeah, I think she's a master gardener. She's, you know, my wife is outside already planting things and moving stuff around and visiting the big box stores and buying seeds, planting and stuff. Very exciting for people that like to get out there and plant.
Oh, yeah. It's nice to get out of the house for a while and just do something kind of mindless.
Be careful. No. You're going to get phone calls.
No. What I mean is, instead of being at a job, and you get yourself out of your head so you can relax and think about, you know, concentrate on things you like planting shrubs or whatever it might be.
Yeah, we bought a plum tree. And we have to We have to buy another one because the only way we're going to get plums to have two of them.
Well, they have to mate or something? What do you do with it?
No, you've got to have them fairly nearby so that the pollinators can pollinate the flowers.